Why don't you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. There's two passages of Scripture that I would like you to turn to me with this evening. And we'll be looking at other verses. But if you would put a piece of paper or something at each of these two places, it would help us to quickly go back and forth. The first is Hebrews chapter 5. And the second is Jude chapter 1. I guess there's only one chapter, so I don't need to say that, but the book of Jude. Father, we thank you now for your word and the opportunity to study again this evening. We pray that our hearts might be blessed, that our understanding will be enlightened, that we'll be able to see something here of value in each one of our lives, that we will leave this place benefited. So we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Who was that was approaching 80 and you thought that was old? Huh? That's just a kid, isn't it? According to the standard back in that day. Now let me just read you one verse. I'll not ask you to turn to it, but it's found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. It says there, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Now in these two passages, Genesis 5 and Hebrews 11, we are introduced to two of the most remarkable men in all of the Word of God. And they are known for certain striking characteristics of which I believe almost everybody everywhere, Christians and even non-Christians, are familiar with. Enoch is best known as the first human being taken to heaven without dying. Methuselah, his son, is known for being what? The oldest man. He was what, 88? Or how old was this guy, huh? He was really old, wasn't he? He was the oldest man that ever lived. A record of 900. I think something happened. We're back on, are we? Good. You didn't like what I was saying, and you just turned me off just like that. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a dangerous situation. You know, I believe that God created man approximately 6,000 years ago. Methuselah lived almost one out of every 6 days that the creation was in existence. Looked at that way, it's rather remarkable, isn't it? Now these two facts are known to all that have even the most basic knowledge of God's Word. But beyond this, very few are able to say much at all about these two men. As a matter of fact, most Christian people even never would have known that Enoch was the father of Methuselah. But they did know that he was raptured into heaven, that Methuselah was the oldest man that ever lived. Yet, I believe the record, although it's only a few verses long, is inexhaustible and full of interesting information. Every once in a while, I like to preach on a genealogy. In Scripture, people think genealogies are kind of boring, unimportant, or they skip over them if they're going through the Bible. Well, I like to preach from genealogies. They find some of the most interesting things that I know of in genealogies. And so the historical record of these two men are so closely interwoven together that you cannot study the one without studying the other. Now, we'll begin with a study of the father, all right? Enoch, he's the first preacher. That's why I've asked you to turn to Jude, but keep your place in Genesis, will you? Jude tells us about the kind of preaching that Enoch did. It says in verse 14, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all the hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Moreover, Enoch was the first one ever to preach about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, here he is preaching about the second coming of Christ thousands of years before he ever came the first time. God had revealed to him the time of a coming of a great flood upon the earth in the days of his grandson Noah, and he saw in that a picture of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, you and I today, that's easy stuff for us, isn't it? We know that the flood was a picture of the coming judgment of God at the end of time. There were three kinds of people who were alive on the earth at the time of the flood. First of all, there was Enoch, who was raptured into heaven without dying. Secondly, there was Noah and his family, who were in the ark and went through the flood without harm. Thirdly, there was everyone else. They all died in the flood. That's the perfect picture of the way it's been ever since Christ ascended into heaven. There are three kinds of people in the world today. There are born-again believers. They will be raptured and taken out of this world before the tribulation begins. Second, there are the Jewish people, represented by Enoch. Then secondly, there are the Jewish people that are represented by Noah. They will go through the tribulation and come out on the other side to reign with the Lord in the millennium. And the third group are Gentiles who are unbelievers. They will all perish during the course of or immediately following the great tribulation period of time. So it is also said of Enoch that he walked with God. I hope that if you have any prayer or desire for your own life, that it would be that God would empower you and enable you to truly walk with God. And one of the best places you can find out what that's all about, and we don't have time to get into that tonight, is in the book of Ephesians. Because the book of Ephesians tells us, you know, that we need to walk in the Spirit, we need to walk in love, we need to walk this way, that way, and the other way. And it's really a great book, and I really enjoyed when I went verse by verse through that in one of my pastorates. Next, we are told that Enoch was also the first since the fall, of whom it is that he pleased God. Listen again to Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? He walked with God. How did he walk with God? By basically doing what we talked about this morning. By emptying himself of himself, and doing exactly and only what God wished for him to do. And so Enoch was a unique man. Now, in our text in the book of Genesis, three times this word translated is used. The forever silence, the denial of the literal fact of Enoch's journey into heaven without dying. My concordance gives the meaning of the word translated as transferred. In other words, at one moment, Enoch was on earth, and before he could even blink his eyes, he was in the presence of God. You know, that's the way it's going to be for you and me. After all, Enoch's a type of the church. What's wrong with that? It'll happen so fast, it'll be like in the twinkling of an eye. You know how fast you can twinkle your eye? Remember when you were younger and you used to wink at a girl? That happens quick, doesn't it? Has to be on the ball or she won't even know what happened. That, according to God's word, is how quickly the rapture will take place. Here now, there, before you can even blink your eyes. And so Enoch was literally transferred from earth into heaven and has been in the presence of God in heaven. And he, by the way, is the only one, other than those who are raptured in the church age, that will enjoy that privilege. You say, oh, wait a minute, what about Elijah? Yes, Elijah was taken up in a chariot of fire into heaven, but guess what? He's coming back again. Right? And what's going to happen to him when he comes back? They're going to kill him, aren't they? So Enoch is the only person in all of Scripture that now I know. Oh, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that Enoch is one of the two witnesses. No, he isn't. The other witness is Moses. There's enough information too. But a lot of people think that it's Enoch because they say he has to die because the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and that's all men, not Enoch, because Enoch represents the church. And I'll tell you, if Jesus Christ came back tonight, every person in this room that's born again, and every person anywhere, no matter who they are or where they are that's born again, will instantly be taken up to be with the Lord in the air. He won't die. So it's not appointed unto all men to die. And so inasmuch as Enoch represents the church, he will never die. He's in heaven today enjoying what you and I will one day enjoy as well. Now, I want you to notice in regard to this situation with Enoch, the event was dateless. Now, he knew it was going to happen. And we'll get into that. But he didn't know when. And I want to tell you something tonight. Anybody who comes into this church and teaches or preaches that he knows the day that Jesus Christ is coming, you need to get rid of that guy real quick. He's some kind of a nut. Nobody knows the day or the hour, Jesus said. My long suit is prophecy. I think I said that last time I was here. That's what I love to preach on. But with all the study and all the work that I've done on that subject, I'll tell you, there's one thing I don't know. Well, there's a lot of things I don't know, but this one thing for sure I don't know. I have no idea when he's coming again. I know it must be soon, because there's a lot of things going on that seem to indicate that, but I don't know when. Enoch did not know when. And that makes him a perfect type of those people who are living on earth before the rapture happens, who are still alive, when it happens. He had to be ready for it minute by minute, day by day. By like token, we don't know when Jesus is coming. He says, in an hour such as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. A wise Scottish preacher was preaching on the rapture of the church. And he said to these people, he said, how many of you think Jesus might come back tonight? About two hands were raised and a couple hundred weren't. And he said, now my text tonight is, the Son of Man cometh back in an hour if you think not. We believe that the rapture of the church is what we call imminent. And by that word, we mean it could happen tonight. It could happen before I finish the sermon. And if I really get wound up, it probably will. But you see, the thing is that we don't know. Therefore, we must be prepared to meet our God every single minute of the time that we have to live on this earth. And that ought to create in us some kind of a situation of holiness in our life, recognizing that he might come back. Now, there are only seven verses in the entire Bible that are devoted to Enoch. We've already read them all. These in Genesis, one in Hebrews, and those in the book of Job. In Genesis, we read of his walk. In Hebrews, we read of his witness. And in Jude, we read of his work. Now, I want you to notice with me, first of all, tonight, the walk of Enoch. This walk had a very definite beginning, and I want you to see that. It obviously started when his son, called Methuselah, was born to him. Notice how clearly the record states it in Genesis 5:21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Isn't that interesting? We see something sort of like that with a lot of parents today. They're not faithful to church, they're not involved, and so forth. Then they have a kid, you see. And then all of a sudden they start coming faithfully because they want to be sure that that kid gets what that kid needs. But it went a little deeper than that with Enoch. But it's very clearly seen here in verse 21, you notice, that it just said that he lived. But in verse 22, it said after he begat Methuselah, he walked with God. Obviously, the idea of that is that before Methuselah, he didn't walk with God in the way that he walked with God after Methuselah. Do you see that there? So evidently, Enoch just sort of lived an ordinary life before the birth of this boy. But when Methuselah was born, it had a terrific change in his life that took place. And it says, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Now we shall see later why he walked with God after this. But first, let's see what was implied by walking with God. Of only one other man is it said that he walked with God in all of God's Word. Now, concerning this walking with God, notice several things. First of all, Enoch walked with God in a day of evil. A day like today. A day of wickedness. When the world was reaching its climax of judgment that brought the judgment of God upon the world. I believe that we are living in the last days. And the wickedness is abounding. You know, every year you say, it just can't get any worse. Have you ever said that? It can't get any worse. I remember when I first started preaching on Bible prophecy in 1965, I started. That was my first sermon on prophecy. I said, man, he's got to come soon. It just can't get any worse. Hey, 1965 was like a Sunday school picnic compared to today. So it's going to get worse. How much worse? Well, who knows? I don't know. But I do know that Enoch walked with God in a day when wickedness in the world was reaching its climax of judgment. You're here in Genesis 5. Notice verse 6 and see what kind of a day that was. Verse 5 of Genesis 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. You know, a lot of people today will excuse themselves for not walking fully with God as they should, and they base it on the day in which we live. They just say, well, it's just too hard to live for Christ today. I've counseled with a lot of teenagers, and they say, well, man, everybody's having sex before marriage. Hey, I was a virgin, I tell them, when I was married. So was my wife. I was almost 23, and she was 15 or whatever. But at any rate, and people just have this silly idea today that the world is so evil, there's evil and temptation on every hand, therefore I can't walk with God. Nonsense. Enoch lived in that kind of a day, and he did. Why can't I? You sure can. So he lived in an age like this, and Jesus even compares with the end of this age with the days that were before the flood. And amidst all of that, Enoch walked with God. In fact, it is walking with God which is the only remedy for walking right in a polluted and wicked world. Many don't want to walk with God because it's a lonely walk. There are very few Christians that really walk with God in the sense that we're talking of. Everybody wants to see the Son of Man in the fiery furnace, but nobody wants to get in the furnace. We want to see the lions get lockjaw, but we don't want to get in the den like Daniel did with them. We want to see Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father, but we don't want to risk persecution and death as Stephen did in order to see that. So Enoch walked alone with God in a wicked day, and what does his walk imply? Simply this. How could Enoch walk with God in such a wicked world? Well, we have the answer, and I'm not going to ask you to turn, but if you take a note, you might want to just jot down Amos 3:3. It says there, can two walk together except they be agreed? How did Enoch walk with God? Because he believed God, and he practiced and lived what God told him to live. So walking applies agreement, harmony, and faith. By his birth, Enoch, a son of fallen Adam, was at enmity with God, but a reconciliation had taken place. How came this reconciliation? Again, let me read Hebrews 11:5, or part of it. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. And then the next verse says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So how did Enoch please God? He had faith in God. He had faith in what God had revealed to him. And he believed it and practiced it and walked accordingly. And then I would have you notice also in verse 22 of Genesis 5 that Enoch raised a family in that evil day. Verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. Walking with God does not mean that we abstain from normal living, from the normal exercise of family, community, and social life. Enoch was a better husband and a better father because he walked with God. Finally, notice that Enoch walked with God because he lived in the daily expectation of being raptured into heaven. You say, well, how do you know that? Listen again to Hebrews 11 and verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Faith in what? Faith in the Word of God. God told him, apparently, that he would be raptured before the flood came that he preached about. And so daily he walked with God, living in expectation that today might be that day. That's just like you and me. We know he's coming. We don't know when any more than Enoch knew when in his time. And so therefore, that's all we can do, is every single day of our life, walk with God the way that God says we should walk with God, in harmony and agreement with God. And then we'll be prepared, and we won't be ashamed before him, as John says, at his coming. And we might hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." I want to hear those words, don't you? But one night God said to Enoch, "Come on up." He didn't go home as usual. He was not preaching on the street corner as usual. Undoubtedly, the people laughed when he told them what was going to happen with the judgment of God and the coming flood that he preached about. I can just hear some of them saying, "Let's go down to the corner and hear what old man Enoch has to say tonight." And so go to the accustomed corner to heckle, but he doesn't appear. They wait a while, but no Enoch. The next day, they discover that he has just disappeared from off of the entire earth. We may be certain that they missed him. Listen to Hebrews 11:5 again. Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. What does that mean? That means they looked for him and they didn't find him. They didn't know what happened to him. Then they went on their wicked way and sinful way, and they stubbornly continued in that way, and the judgment of God fell exactly as Enoch had preached and swept them all away. Now listen to Matthew 24:38. "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, let's look at the second man in our text, the man Methuselah. How much do you know about this man Methuselah? Really? Do you even know who he is? To most, Methuselah is just simply an example of longevity, a man who lived longer than any other man, attaining the ripe old age of 969 years old. What else do you know about him? Well, we've already said he was the son of Enoch, right? What else? A few might be able to answer that he was the grandfather of Noah. I doubt very many, but some would. But beyond that, most know no more. Now, we shall try to show you that there was more to the story, but let's first of all read everything that the Bible says about him in all 46 words. Notice then, in beginning in verse 25. "And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died." After this, he is only mentioned once in all of the Word of God, and that is in the genealogy that's found in Luke chapter 3. It's all the information we have from God about this man Methuselah. But what information it is. Now, there are two questions to be answered if we're to understand the importance of this man. What was there about the birth of this boy that had such a profound impact upon his father that he began to walk with God after his son was born? Secondly, what was the secret of the long life of Methuselah? Why did he live longer than anybody else? We believe the Bible has the answer. It's obvious that God revealed to Enoch the coming judgment of the flood as a picture of the future judgment of the tribulation. I've asked you to stay there in the book of Jude. Keep your place in Genesis, though. Go on back to that book of Jude and look again at verses 14 and 15. My cup has a smiling face on it. Yours doesn't. That's the way it goes. Okay. Jude, chapter 1, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all the hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So God revealed the great tribulation through the picture of the coming flood to Enoch. Now, it's not unreasonable to believe that this must have aroused the curiosity of Enoch, and certainly he would have wanted more information. So God told him that before the flood came, he would be taken, raptured out of the world. Now, I've already gotten that, as I said, from Hebrews 11:5, where it said, by faith he was raptured. But Enoch wanted to know more. Probably, when would it happen? That was a question that would come naturally. It was the same with the disciples, wasn't it? When Jesus told them that the Son of Man will be coming back again, the Lord had revealed to them the coming day of the Lord. The first question they ask is found in Matthew 24:3. When shall these things be? They were just human like us, weren't they? And what shall be the sign of that coming and the end of the age? The Lord gave them no date, but he did give them a bunch of signs, didn't he, in Matthew 24. In the very same way, God gave a sign to Enoch. Very interesting. To the disciples, he said, of the day and hour knoweth no man. So he didn't tell Enoch the day or the hour, but he gave them a sign in a most dramatic way. That was the birth of his son, Methuselah. When that boy was born, I believe with all of my heart that God had given to Enoch the revelation that the flood would come immediately upon the death of Methuselah. Okay, well, how do you know that? Well, the name Methuselah is a Hebrew compound word that means when he is gone, it shall come. You can find that in any Bible expository thing on Methuselah. There's no secret you're learning tonight. It was as though God said to Enoch, you see that baby? The world will last as long as he lives and no longer. When that baby dies, I will deal with this world in judgment. Now, we can imagine what such a extraordinary revelation would have upon Enoch. No wonder he walked with God after his son Methuselah was born. Suppose that God revealed a word like that to you and said that the tribulation will come right after your son Methuselah, after your son, whoever you call them, dies. Can you imagine what effect this would have upon you? It would probably be profound. God had set the time for the flood immediately after the departure of Methuselah from this earth. That's why his name was Methuselah. After he is gone, it shall come. Now that answers our second question, the long life of Methuselah. The answer becomes clear. God is a loving God, and judgment is his strange work. He wants men and women to be saved, and although he justly can rain down judgment today or any day without any delay, he gives man an opportunity to repent, because the Bible says it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The cup of man's iniquity in the days of Enoch was full, and the flood was due, but in long-suffering patience, God extended the day of grace. In extending the day of grace, he must also extend the life of Methuselah. Huh? Now, if some of you question this, you have to trash the matter out with Peter, not with me. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 3, 18, 19, and 20. For Christ also hath once suffered for the sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickeneth by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight, were saved as by water. You see, God extended the day of grace because he's long-suffering, because he's loving. He wanted to give men opportunity. So in doing that, the life of Methuselah was extended because God had told Enoch that as long as Methuselah is alive, the judgment of the flood cannot hit the earth. So if God's going to extend the time of grace, as Peter says here, he's going to have to extend the number of years that Methuselah can live, because if Methuselah died and then it was 120 years until the flood came, hey, what kind of a sign that would be? You know, it's kind of like in Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." We were talking about that at lunch, and why some translations say it was woman, young woman. Well, that's what the word means, young woman. But when the Holy Spirit translates Isaiah 7:14 in the book of Matthew, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." And the Greek word translated virgin means more than young women. It means virgin, literally, and cannot mean anything else. Now, like I told the folks this afternoon, the Holy Spirit translates the verse of Scripture, I'd better be sure I get it right. Therefore, Isaiah 7:14 should say, "Behold, a sign shall be given, a virgin shall conceive." Now, if the virgin was just a young woman giving birth to a child, what kind of a stupid sign would that be? Happens every day, doesn't it? Happens thousands of times a day. There's no sign. But when a virgin gives birth to a man, that is a sign. Huh? Okay, so here is the sign to Methuselah, to Enoch. See that son there, Enoch, Methuselah? When he's dead, the flood will come. As long as he's alive on this earth, the flood cannot come. But yet he extended, according to Peter, he extended the day of grace, therefore he extended the life of Methuselah to go in accordance.